If you would take your Bibles with me, let's go to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, the text that was read this morning out of Isaiah. We trust that we will get there a little bit later. I enjoyed being with you this morning, singing these different songs in praise to the Lord. Don't always sing all the verses, but I enjoyed doing that today, singing those verses, and I just enjoy singing, and I'm grateful for the chance to be in Sunday school, and I really enjoyed the Christmas program. Tuesday night, we got in about 5 o'clock, and were able to come over and just listen to the children do their readings, do their music, and sing praises to the Lord. It was a great blessing. May I say, you have something here that you don't find in many places. I was looking at all those children on Tuesday night, and I think the majority of the parents were here with the children. You know, there are a number of Bible-believing churches who are represented with people that look a lot like me. Either their hair is white or they don't have hair. There are many churches, call it fundamental churches, I think just all churches, where you don't have so many young children. And what a privilege to have children, to have parents, and to have those parents with the opportunity to bring up the next generation for the Lord. And I am grateful for something. That is a prayer request for us in Mackinac. We pray for families. We pray for young families so that we might train those children for the glory of the Lord. And things are changing. When we first got there, 30-some years ago, there were 240 in the public school. They're down to about 140 in the community. As far as children is greatly shrinking, we're turning into a retirement area, so things are different. But I'm here to look at the Word of God, so if we would pray together, we'll get started in that. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to have your Word before us. May it be that lamp to our feet, the light to our path. Father, I need your cleansing, the filling of your Spirit. Lord, I need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to guide and direct in what is said. Lord, you've given us your Word. May we realize what we have before us. And Lord, may you use that in our life. And may that be to your praise and to your glory. We acknowledge our need of you. We come to worship you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. I realize the passage here in Matthew is the same one that Daniel looked at last Sunday. His emphasis, as I looked through his message, started in verse 1 and went on up through verse 11. I'm going to be starting in verse 9, 10, and 11, and that's where my focus will be today. When the Magi, if you would, saw the star again and the exceeding great joy that they had. And I did. I looked through what Daniel had preached last week. A lot of times I get a chance to listen to it and watch it in the afternoon. Didn't get that chance last week. But so reading through it, I know that he already mentioned the fact that we don't know for sure that there were three wise men, even though the song that we sang said that there are three wise men. And up here, we have those three wise men. But the one thing that we can't find in this passage of the Scripture is three wise men. We know there are three gifts. And so I told them last Sunday morning, I said, you know what, in our nativity scene in the back of the church where I was, we need to take those three wise men, maybe add a fourth one, but we need to remove them from the nativity scene from some distance because they don't end up in the stable.
They end up in a house. They find Jesus in the house. And that's what these verses talk about. Verse 11 mentions that they found the little child in a house. And so there's certain things that we find in songs that we don't always find in the scriptures. But we know that the scriptures are what we can put our confidence in, what we can put our trust in. But if you have your Bibles open, and I hope you do, I want you to look with me at verse 9. Let me read that again to you, Matthew chapter 2, verse 9. And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy. Why did they rejoice? Well, and thinking through that, as I've come to the point, I guess I came to the point where I thought, they rejoiced maybe because they'd come to the end of their journey. I mean, if you visited Grandma or Grandpa this week, and you're a young person, there's just something about going over Grandma's house for Christmas or Grandpa's and enjoying Christmas with them. And so it may have been a 4 or 5 hour trip. That's the way it was when our children were growing up. I remember one or two Christmases in particular where we opened presents like about 5:36 in the morning, and we finished with that, had our breakfast, we jumped in the car, and we were going to try and have lunch with Grandma. And the kids were excited about that. And when they finally got to Grandma's house, there was kind of like what it was saying there in verse 10. There was exceeding great joy. The journey is completed. Have you ever thought that about these wise men? Not just the 1,000 miles that they traveled. They had gotten to the Jerusalem and they didn't find what they were looking for. They at first didn't realize that they were but 7 miles away. But they sat there, "Where's he born King of the Jews? We saw a star in the east. We've come to worship him." And it's like, what are you talking about? We don't know anything about this. And finally, word got to the scribes and Pharisees, "Where is that Messiah supposed to be born?" And they said, "In Bethlehem." And so Herod relays that to the wise men. Okay, so maybe this 1,000-mile trip was not in. It couldn't have been in vain because we saw the star. But seemingly somehow that star disappeared because in verses 9 and 10 it says it reappeared. And when they saw the star, when they followed the star led right to where the child was. And they had exceeding joy. Now, it's one thing to be a child and waiting for to get to Grandma and Grandpa's. It's another thing to be Grandpa and Grandma and to wait to see the child. But this wasn't just any child. This was a king. I want you to think about that for a second. The response that we see in this passage, and again, I want to read to you beginning in verse 10. "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." And verse 11 says, "And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, the mother. They fell down and they worshipped. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Well, there was a lot of gift giving, right, this week? But that seems interesting to me. Why is it that these three wise men, I do this commonly in Mackinac, I don't know if I can do it here without falling. Why is it these three wise men, or four wise men, why is it that they had such exceeding great joy? Why is it that when they got to the house and they saw the child, that they fell down? In the text that was read last Sunday, they came into Herod's presence And they didn't fall down in the presence of the King of the Jews, as he would claim that title. But they get to this little, when was the last time you fell down in awe of a little child? Oh, we do that with our grandkids, right? There's something about this child. There's something about the knowledge that these wise men had that changed their entire thought about the babe. And I want you right now to seek in your mind, what information brought this group of men to the point where they fall down and are there, they are in awe of the child? I think it ties into the passage that was read this morning, Isaiah chapter 9. Now, not the first few verses. The first few verses actually are quoted again in Matthew chapter 4. Beginning of the worship service, one of the verses that was read was Matthew chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. If you would go just a little farther in that chapter, you would see the reason that Jesus moved from Nazareth to Capernaum was in the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 9. Because there needed to be a great light to shine in Naphtali, in that region. And Jesus moves to that area because he's that great light. But go further in the passage in Isaiah chapter 9. And we have a verse that's very familiar to us. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What I'm saying to you, somehow or another, these magi, these wise men, had to have that knowledge. Now, we're not told where they got it. I presume that they were taught by, well, at the beginning in Daniel chapter 2, we find that Daniel is put over all the wise men of Babylon. And I want to say that this individual, Daniel, maybe began to teach about the Messiah. And somehow or another, for almost 600 years, that teaching somehow seemed to have gone on. Maybe Daniel, one of the first lessons that he would teach about the Messiah would be from Daniel chapter 2, about the stone that was cut without hands, which would fall on the great image. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold, the shoulders, arms of silver, and then the Grecian Empire, and then the Roman Empire. It was during the Roman Empire. After that, there's going to be this stone, which is the Messiah, which is going to come and destroy the rule of the Gentiles in the world. Now, maybe that's what they taught about this coming Messiah. Or maybe Daniel taught them about Daniel chapter 7, where the Ancient of Days will come and give the Son of Man all the kingdoms of the world. You say, would they have had Isaiah? Surely. They would have had Isaiah. In fact, they had the entire Old Testament. And remember, the faithful, if you would, all of Israel has been taken in captivity to Babylon. And Daniel would have access to that. And it seems to me that he would teach Isaiah 9:6. I know of no other passage in the Scripture that talks about a child being a king. Listen to it again. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. That's what we looked at last week. But then it says the government will be upon his shoulders. And then acknowledges at that same place that he is going to be who? He's going to be God. So let's walk back into that little house, if you would. There's Mary. And there's the young child. Who's that young child? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. But wait, there's another verse. It's Isaiah chapter 7, 14, we know. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. God said. That's God with us. So as they follow the star and it leads right to the house, and literally it stops at the house, and how that happened, I don't quite know, but it stops at that house. They go inside, and who are they looking at? We're looking at a child given, we know in the New Testament, given by God the Father, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So that Son was given by God the Father, and now before these wise men, yes, they followed Numbers 24. They had that in because they were following the star. But it seems like they must have known Isaiah 7:14, God with us. It seems like they must have been able to understand 9:6 of Isaiah, because you have a child there and the government will be on his shoulders, meaning that he's going to have the government of the world. But when they kneel down, King of the Jews, but ultimately, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now I ask you, you and I celebrated Christmas a few days ago. That thought ever come to your mind? Yes, we think of the babe as the Savior. And we need to think of him as the Savior, right? The Savior of the world. But have we ever thought of him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? If we had that knowledge of Jesus, what would we have done in the presence of the little child? Something to think about, isn't it? I don't know how many years these individuals must have been searching, must have been thinking that someday they would have the privilege, maybe, especially after the star appeared. And they were willing to travel 1,000 miles. I looked it up. Some camels can go 80 miles in a day. I think you might go on a camel 80 miles in one day, but you wouldn't do that the next day. But they said most camels, when they're carrying a full pack, are going to go about 40 miles in a day. You figure that out. I tried to figure that out. That's like about a month. So the time if they left Babylon until they got to Jerusalem, they would have been traveling about a month on camels. That's a lot to give to look for a little baby. So yes, I can see the excitement of finally the completion, finally getting there. But I think the excitement is more than just arriving. It's, this is King of the Jews. More than that, this is the Son of God. This is the stone that's cut without hands. This is the one who will rule the world. Now, I don't know if they could divide what we now can do today. In other words, whether they understood there would be a first coming and a second coming. The first coming being what we call Christmas. The second coming being when he comes back to rule and reign. I don't know if an Old Testament individual could find that. Yes, they would have had Isaiah 53. But remember what it says in Peter. It says, even the prophets sat and they looked at all these prophecies that God had given them and they tried to weave them together. So whether they or not they understood the full ramification of that baby, that young child, being the one who would die on the cross, or as John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I ask you this one more time. I want you to think about it. If you were one of those wise men and you walked through that door into the presence of that child, would you have knelt? would you have seen him as he who truly was, the creator of the universe, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He said, never have the experience. I wonder, wouldn't it be nice if we could have that experience? But I said, we have something much better than that. You see, before them, according to John chapter 1, follow me just for a second, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So the Word created everything. But verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what we have in that cradle. And then in that house, the Word becomes flesh and lives among us. And John says, and we beheld his glory. We saw the glory of the only begotten. There they had the living Word in their presence. Say, we don't have that experience. Oh, but I think we have something better. We have now, since Jesus has ascended into heaven, he's at the right hand of the Father, we have an indwelling Holy Spirit. And we have something else. We have the completed Word of God. The completed Word of God. These are interesting little things that we carry nowadays, these little phones. You ever received a text message? It's amazing, we get text messages. You know something that bothers me? If I'm sitting communicating with somebody, and they hear this noise and they pull out their phone and say, wait a second, I've got a text message. If let me just answer this text message and I'll continue to talk with you. Has that ever happened to you? You're conversing with somebody. They pull their phone out because it's just buzzed or something. And they pause long enough to say, let me just answer this text. And then they want to come back to the conversation. Wait, there's another text here. And then they come back with it. It's like, you want to talk to me? You want to talk to the phone? It's amazing how much we value this little thing here. Because of a text message or a phone message that's sent to us, I ask you this question, open on your lap right now. Is a message from the Creator, the written Word of God? Yes, the wise men walked in and they saw the living Word. But we have the written Word in its entire completion. Have you ever looked at the Scriptures that way? This is better than a text message from God. This is the completed Word of God. And I have the indwelling Holy Spirit who will illuminate my heart, my mind, and I have a message from God. As you have that Bible on your lap, have you ever thought of that? Would you look at verse 11 with me? Here's verse 11. What can we learn from verse 11? And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. So we've looked at the fact that they saw. We looked at the fact that they fell down. And then they worship him. They stand in awe of who he is. I have a definition of worship. It is valuing or treasuring, the valuing or the treasuring of God above all. When I have that Bible open on my lap, when I'm sitting and reading my Bible, do I look at that as this is God's Word? This is not just man telling me about God. This is breathed out by God. So what did they do? And when they opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, truly, these are gifts that would honor a king: gold, frankincense, the incense that's burned in worship of God. Myrrh, that's what Nicodemus brought when Jesus was to be embalmed. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we could spend a few minutes talking about that, but I don't want to do that. The thing that just jumped out at me when I read this a number of weeks ago was the idea that it was their treasures. Their treasures that they presented. How much of their treasures, I don't know. But it was their treasures. And what did they do after they opened their treasures? What did they do with their treasures? It said that they gave them you're going to give that to a child? But they realized that was Creator God. That was the ruler of the world. And they gave it to him. And I had to ask myself, what treasures do I have? What treasures does Reed Nelson have? What do we got? Has there ever been a time where Reed took his treasures and said, here they are. I give them to you. I think one of the things that we have is time. We don't know how much time we got. We treasure our time. Our time's important. What do we do with our time? Here we are, 2020, just a couple days away. What are we going to do with our time? Do I have a heart to say, God, I want you to rule my time? God, not the babe in the manger, not the little child, but the creator of the universe, I give to you. You've given me time. How much, I don't know, but you give, and I give it back to you. I treasure that. It's yours. Let me use my time for your glory. In that, we might include this thought, our life. How much time do we have left? Yeah, I was been thinking the last couple days, 44 years ago, looking at 1976, senior in college, going to get married in June of that year. Not really sure where I'm going to be a youth pastor. I've got an idea. Going to graduate in May, marry in June. But I got no idea beyond that. But that's my life coming up. You know what now? Not that much of life is left. I'm asking God, maybe he'll give me 5 more years to pastor. You know what? James is true. Your life is a vapor. It appears for a little time and it's gone. So I got my time, which is part of my life. I know one thing that we've always treasured. We, meaning me, my wife. You treasure your wife and love your wife. And then together you treasure your children. I ask you this question. Have you ever looked at your treasures and said, I give them to you, Lord. You use them however you choose. You use these things which I value however you choose. Go back to the story with me, right? We read just a little bit farther. They gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then the wise men departed, and they were directed by God not to go back to Herod, but to go another way. But they walked away from their treasures because they had given their treasures. Those were no longer theirs. They'd given them to this child who was God. Did you know that God put them to use? Because seemingly that very night, Joseph has a dream. And the angel, the Lord, tells Joseph to do what? Get up, take the child, take Mary, and flee to Egypt. Did you know? The Bible teaches that Joseph and Mary were very poor. You say, how do you know that? You look at Luke and you find that the purification after 40 days when they take Jesus to the temple and he's at the first opening of the womb and they give an offering. They didn't give a lamb. Normally they would do that. They gave two turtle doves. That was the offering, the poorest offering that could be given. That's all they had. For that special day, all they had was the least offering that was allowed. And I believe it's because they were so poor. And yet God provides so that they can make a trip to Egypt and the Christ child is delivered from Herod. So just a thought. Whatever you got that you treasure, have you ever considered giving it to God? I take my hands off of it. I give it to you. You use me however you want. You know one of the first things that comes to my mind? What do I have to give to God? You remember that story of the talents? The guy's got five, and the guy's got two, and the other guy's got one. I've never considered myself to be that five-talent person, that two-talent person, and the guy with maybe a half a talent, not one talent. God, what are you going to do with what I have? There's not much there to give. But what I got, I give to you. If you can use somebody who's dyslexic, here I am. That's all I got. I give you what I am. So interesting to me is when we give ourselves to the Lord, we give to serve. We give to serve. Remember the disciples? They were giving of themselves to the Lord. James and John says, hey, we're coming into the kingdom. We just want to make this known to you, Lord. When you come to your kingdom, how about if James and me, we get places one and two? In other words, we're going to give ourselves to you, but we want to make sure that we're going to be the leaders. And Jesus gives them that lesson. If you're going to be great in my kingdom, you're going to learn to serve. You're going to learn to wash feet. That's what you can do. That's what great people do. They serve. In the kingdom of the Lord, great people serve. They don't have to be in leadership. All they've got to do is serve. Yes, I was thinking that concerning my wife. You know, one thing I've learned about serving the Lord, one of the greatest things that I can do is to love my wife. If I'm going to give myself to the Lord, it's got to start with loving my wife. Now, that's not hard to do some of the time. But if I'm going to give myself to the Lord, it will require loving her as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He gave himself. But before he gave himself, he served the church. Remember John 13? So I'm thinking back to verse 11. I'm thinking of these wise men who have fallen down, they've worshipped. They have presented their treasures, and they have given their treasures. And I don't know what your treasures are this morning. I've mentioned mine being my wife, my children, my time, my life. But I just would like you this afternoon to think about that. What do I treasure in life? And am I willing to give it to the Lord? As we come to 2020, what will I give to Jesus in 2020? Does he have what I treasure? I hope that's something that you will do to the Lord this day. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this story of the wise men. This is one of two passages in the Gospels where we learn concerning the birth of Christ. We are familiar with the Luke passage, and we are somewhat familiar with this passage in Matthew. But Lord, there's so much more that can be said about this passage. I thank you for what you have given to us in verse 10 and 11. I thank you for this idea, Lord, that they were exceedingly joyful when they saw the star and when the star led them to the child. And I thank you for the attitude that they expressed as they stood and then knelt and then gave to the child. Lord, I pray that you would allow that to be our heart, that we would give ourselves to you. Lord, in the church, there are many gifts, many abilities that you have given to each of the members. I pray that none of us, Lord, would think that we have nothing to give you, but each of us would accept the truth that we have been given a gift. We have been given things that are valuable, and may we offer them to our Savior, to our Lord, in this coming year. As we serve, as we love you, as we worship you, and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.